This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 138 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, guys? What's up, Tristan? How are we doing today?
Doing great, man. The sun's out, shining. It's a beautiful day. How are you?
Good, man. New studio. We're stoked.
Yeah, absolutely wrapped, man.
Fresh and clean.
But we got a returning guest today, man. One of our main men, Mike Vacanti.
Yeah, Mike V. You know, New York City, synonymous with Gary V. Definitely doing his own thing. We're excited to bring him back on the show, man. He's one of our guys.
Yeah, I love Mike. I think he's doing some absolutely brilliant things in the fitness industry, really educating people, yeah. And at the same time, really evolving himself. So I think he's ticking a lot of boxes, and I love what he's doing.
Yeah, education's key with Mike, integrity, authenticity. So it's always a good time when we get to share that story.
Yeah, it's interesting that we actually got to go to his house. So, you know, we've built a fair bit of rapport with Mike, and it's going to be interesting to see what he's been up to the last 12 months.
Yeah, guys, listen, you know, coaches listening to this episode, you know, get your pen out, take notes. Mike really does the videos really well, the edits really well, mm-hmm. And he captivates his audience, and his reach is awesome as well, so we're stoked.
Yeah. So before Mike comes on, just a big thank you to everyone out there listening to the show, everyone subscribing via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, leaving us those 5-star reviews. Always great.
Yeah, we love the support. We can't get enough of it. You guys keep supporting us. We'll keep bringing it. What is it, episode 138?
138, my man.
Yeah, we started from one, and we're only growing, so it's all because of you guys, so thank you.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So get in touch. Tag us on social media with anything that you like, and we'll make sure that we always get back in touch with you.
I heard that.
All right, Mike Vacanti's ready, so let's get Mike on the show. All right, our special guest is our boy Mike Vacanti. Mike is a fitness and health expert, specializing as an online coach. He interned under acclaimed trainer John Romanello, where he also had Gary Vaynerchuk as a client for 2 years. Mike has an online app called On The Regimen, which is also used for food and macronutrient tracking. We are very excited to get him back on after being on in episode 49. Mike Vacanti, welcome back, man.
I'm pumped. Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, Mike, last time, like Tristan said, we saw you in June. We, you know, did that interview in New York City at your place. A lot's changed on our end, a lot's changed on your end. Kind of a loaded question. Could you share with us a little bit of insights, maybe some big things that are going on in your career now in comparison to what was happening back then in June?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, career-wise, it's the same. I'm trying to put useful content out in the places people pay attention that actually helps people with getting leaner, getting stronger, the psychology of fat loss, muscle gain, just getting healthier. And so, like, the core of it hasn't changed. My life has a little bit. Like we were just talking about, I moved around a little bit. and have kind of been bouncing all over from my way back to New York. But yeah, what I'm doing outside of training Gary, right? So like I was training Gary every single day. I'm not doing that anymore. But outside of that, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, the videos too. So like it's one of these things that you've been on top of that for, I mean, since I've started following you a few years back. And slowly I'm starting to see the rest of the industry catch on. You know, coaches down here in Sydney doing the videos. You did one specifically recently with the butts, and about how you know people are passing this pseudo message about results and hard work, but it's all a facade. The way I want to talk about how you delivered that message, though, man, it was one of the big take home points for me. You kept it in such like it could have come across like somebody else could have sounded like a hater, but your intent was in such a good place, and you seem to do that with all of your videos. Is this something that you're like, you take time to before you press record? Do you go over or do you have a script or you're like, all right, screw it, I'm ready, press record?
So I didn't have a script for that video. I knew what the purpose of the video was, a message to mainly women who email me and say, I want insert celebrities, but how do I get it? And I wanted somewhere to send them that's like, look, that's not hard work, that's not dedication, that's not, and there are plenty of women who, and men obviously, who like create amazing physiques through hard work, but when you have little tiny hot dog legs with zero hamstring development and a giant butt and then a tiny waist, that's a $50,000 knife job, that's not like grind. And so I knew what I wanted to say. And had a friend of mine with a camera out in front of like a model billboard down in Soho in the city. So like the location was right for it. And, yeah, just let out a little one take rant.
Yeah. I think though that that's a point of difference, man. I was talking to Tristan off air about that. I'd like to see more of those. Like there's a lot as coaches, all three coaches here, there's a lot of things that, you know, kind of frustrate us or we wish that, you know, the public were more educated on. I think you're really good at that, like being able to address those issues, but come across very, very meaningful. And then also with your purpose of wanting to help people. I think that's definitely a good sign. And, you know, keep that up because it's super refreshing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Is that something you're more focusing on now, Mike, with the YouTube stuff? Because last time we were in the same place, like you were very on the big Snapchat and things like that. You're kind of more evolving into YouTube now?
It varies so much for me. And I get torn back and forth because part of it is I really want to enjoy creating content.
Yeah.
Like there's so many places you can put stuff, right? And I think a lot of times I know I feel overwhelmed. I know other trainers reach out to me who want to build their businesses who feel overwhelmed that they can't execute everywhere. Podcast, Pinterest, YouTube, Insta stories, Snap stories, Facebook has stories. Like,
yeah,
just
so much.
There's so many places to storytell. And especially as a one man or like two man or even like any kind of not bigger company with a team, it's hard to do well across the board or even in like half of those places.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of moving all over. It comes back to intent, right? So the intent of my content is, one, obviously to help people and to put, like, good, truthful information that people find valuable out. Two, it's drive people who – I don't necessarily want more online coaching clients right now, which is my revenue source, but keeping the demand for it, keeping a wait list just so, like, you know, I can pay the bills and things of that nature is also important. And – really the place that drives that is the blog, is SEO, is people who come across like long form, high quality articles or like long form, high quality YouTube videos that, that answer a question. So there's like the motivational and the more like snippets that play better and play more native on Facebook and Instagram, which I do because people enjoy them and it's exposure. But where I feel like I should be spending more time is writing more 2,000, 2,500 word articles or making the 10 to 12 to 14 minute YouTube videos that really dissect a specific question.
Yeah, it's just an interesting space that we're kind of in right now. And Did you find, like, last time we were together, you were just in the final few weeks of being with Gary. Was that a situation for your own personal growth that, you know, you were with him for 2 years and that was huge, and just leaving him, like, just that would have been you getting out of a huge comfort zone, because all of a sudden your main source of income was just gone straight off the bat. Can you take us through that experience, man?
For sure. So from the beginning, he offered basically a 2-year commitment, which I accepted. And probably a year in, around the 1-year mark, we flirted with a conversation of extending, of doing another year, and never like really, really talked about it, but it was kind of on the tip of both of our tongues at the time. And I was torn back and forth between, for my own business, training him led to like massive exposure, right? As his brand continues to grow, me being his trainer, like it's just more eyeballs on me. It's more people, it's more reach. Like that's the big, big upside. On the other side of the coin, and I, if I sound like I'm complaining, even like one fraction of 1%, I am not, but keeping up with him was a grind.
Yeah.
He talked,
like I woke up at 5 o'clock every day for 2 straight years. And like, it's hard to, like dating wise and just having my own life. Like his schedule is priority number one. And so it was a balance of career growth versus grabbing a little bit more life balance.
Yeah.
And yeah, so 2 years was like felt right to me rather than extending. And he's got another trainer now, Jordan Syatt, and they're doing awesome, like killing it. And so I think I made the right decision.
That's awesome too, man. What Jordan's doing, you have to look back though and kind of look at yourself as kind of a point guard in basketball, to where you dish the ball out, you know, you set up a system, and now it's like up to the other guys to dunk the basketball and score. When you were trans, and that's an attribute to you though, man. You know, I'll say it for you, looking from an outsider perspective, I would think that it kind of, you maybe kind of felt like a servant too, when you were with him, waking up at 5 a.m., being on his phone call, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We see a little bit of that with, like, I'll bitch about if my clients text me at, like, midnight. And I'm like, man, I gotta figure a way how to separate my personal life and my business. So in terms of that, you have to feel a little lighter, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's just more freedom.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And there's positives and negatives to it. Like, having structure in life to an extent is a good thing. So like I talked about moving around for the past year, when I was done with the 2 years last summer, like shortly after our chat, I was, should I move out of New York? Should I go somewhere warm? Like I had all these options that like it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like having too much freedom is like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yeah. Where'd you end up going, Mike? You went back home to Minnesota for a bit?
LA too, though.
Give me some stories, my man.
Yeah, so the best is, first, I had a weekend with a few buddies in Las Vegas, a Thursday to Sunday kind of thing. and so we're 2 days in. This was like a week after leaving New York. I'm living out of a suitcase and basically in Vegas. And we're by the pool. We're having drinks. It's like a Saturday afternoon. And we're like, we should live here. Like, we should live in this hotel in Las Vegas for a month or two and just, like, see how it goes. Like, I'm down. I don't, you know, I'm not in New York anymore or whatever. And so we extended our trip by a couple of days. And by the, you know, by the fifth day in Vegas, it's like, okay, we're not. No, I'm not going to live here. Like, 0% chance of that happening. I spent a couple of weeks in Los Angeles, friends out there, and, like, I enjoy visiting, but I've never really like wanted to live out there. And then I did spend 3.5 months back in Minnesota, hanging out with family, catching up with friends. It's where I grew up, had a nice setup living with a friend who had a spare bedroom for me, and trained my father in the gym for the 3 months I was back there as well.
Yeah. Your pop, dude, the results your pops got, very impressive. You documented it, you know, through short videos and snaps. Did you document that journey with your dad? Did you write that down? Is that on paper anywhere?
It's not. There's like a YouTube video or two with us in it working out and talking, but no, I really didn't.
How did you train it? Like, how did you go about like the principles of like, did you just use your main formula with your dad? Or was there something that you had to do differently because, you know, he's a little older, test levels are lower, that sort of thing?
So he's 55 years old. He, to give like the audience a tiny bit of context, he played, like almost made the NHL as a goalie. He played Division I hockey, athlete, like an elite athlete growing up. And then after the age of 25, 26 years old, when his playing career was over, that was it. So from like 25 to 55, there was no weightlifting. It was just, he let himself go as many do.
Yeah,
and he wasn't in terrible shape, just 6 feet tall, 230 pounds, not much lean mass at all, pretty big belly kind of physique. And I told him, and this is actually, it was an easier conversation for me to have given my background as a personal trainer, but it's a conversation that a lot of people want to have and have asked me how to have with their parents, which is basically in that 50 to 65, 70 year old range, like strength training, paying attention to nutrition, not being overweight or obese, and like building habits so that they can move around better when they're older is just a game changer. And so I told him, I was like, hey, can we go for a walk? And he's like, something's up. Like, you and I don't go for walks together. And we were just walking around the block, and I pitched it. I was like, I'm going to stay in Minnesota for the next few months. I'm going to train you in the gym 3 to 4 days a week. Your nutrition's going to be dialed, and we're going to, like, make this a habit. We're going to lose, I was thinking 20 pounds would be really good, and just, like, try and get them going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And he selfishly just wanted me to be around to, like, hang out with, and, like, be at family dinners and stuff. We've been apart for several years. And so he's like, okay, I'm in. Let's do it. Through that process, somewhere around like week four, week five, week six, he started enjoying it. Like, he got into it. He looked forward to workouts. He was seeing, and back to like my philosophies there, it was nothing crazy. We were at a Planet Fitness. We were training 3 days a week, full body to start, just like 8 to 10 rep range, teaching him different moves, seeing what he could do, seeing how he moved. By month two, we were bumped up to training like every other day, 4x a week, kind of 2 upper body days, 2 lower body days,
nice
15-20 minute warm ups with a good amount of mobility in there. And he did a good job on his own with nutrition, eating mostly lean proteins, lots of veggies, and like the very, very occasional. And in those first 3 months, like, that's on him more than me. He was just dialed in. Like, there really wasn't much cheating going on at all. He sent me a picture of the scale every single morning via text. And so, like, we just got momentum. And yeah, he's still, like, those photos. Now it's been probably 7 or 8 months since he started training.
But
he's still going at it on his own. I send him programs every 6 weeks, and he just gets after it.
It's awesome.
No, it looks fantastic. It's a huge credit to him, man, for sure.
Now, I know. Especially because so many, like we think that after a certain point, it's too late, right? You just don't hear a lot of stories about people who are like, I started enjoying weight training for the first time ever when I was 55 years old, but it's possible.
And for our listeners at home, or, you know, even if they're not 55 or young guys who haven't made that step, what advice would you give them to get started? So many people struggle to just walk through those doors. What worked for your dad? I mean, probably because you were with him, but for the general pop, what would you say?
Yeah, that is a big, and like I was saying, like, people having conversations with their parents, it's like, I was there training him. So in those first 4 to 5 weeks, when many people fall off, because it's not enjoyable when you're first getting started. It's physically and mentally uncomfortable.
It's tough, yeah.
If you can, understanding that the ROI of making fitness a habit is literally millions of dollars. If you think about like average years saved on the back end of life, so investing it sounds like a lot of money, but $2,000 to $3,000 on a personal training package with like a decent local trainer so that you can understand how to move.
Yeah.
Call it 10 sessions just so that you're not going to hurt yourself, and having someone walking you through what to do in the gym, I think it decreases risk of quitting by a lot. But it's on the scheduling and lifestyle side of things, just knowing that 3 days a week for 45 to 60 minutes is enough. Like, that's more than enough. And consistently doing that, right? You don't have to be doing 90-minute, two-hour sessions 7 days a week. It's like hitting multi-joint movements a few days a week and continuing, though, and not falling off and not having, like, the week break that turns into a month off and then it's like I'm not lifting anymore.
Yeah, I think you make a great point about returning investment, because that small $2,000 or $3,000, I think it will save you a shitload of money down the track, because what's the use of having a gym membership if you don't know what to do?
For sure.
You may as well have a professional guiding you in the right direction, and you got accountability upon it. And it doesn't have to be forever. I think people get the, you know, they think it just because you have a personal trainer, it has to be forever. I think it's our job to educate them to a level where they can finally do it themselves.
Yeah. Also, I don't know how – when's the last time you worked out of a commercial gym? It's been a while?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, the system that, you know, I work out of down here, and so does Tristan, it's basically a health club with like 30 different entrepreneurs. You know, we pay a yearly overhead, and then we bring our business there. So I think that system, I think a client will be able to see the value just by being around it all the time.
Mm.
But how do you, like, having your online clients, I mean, probably you're at the state now where they reach out to you because they know your brand. But do you struggle, because what I'm struggling with, I have a few different online clients. With them, I do the video side of coaching, you know, their package once a week for a lot of amount of time. But I'm struggling with, like, keeping them accountable in terms of keeping that commitment. And it's not about the money. They'll pay me for like a block, but then week two, they won't, you know, we have to reschedule, and then they have to reschedule here. And that, those are learning curves I'm learning now. What's your advice to me on that, or any coaches listening at home that are struggling with that?
You're a good dude, and you really want to help every single person and get every single person the best results they can get.
Thanks, man.
That's just not possible. Like, you're never going to have 100% adherence. And I don't know exactly how you have things set up with like video, but every client isn't going to execute every time. And like, no matter how much you hassle them to jump on Skype, send them emails, like,
yeah. Do you ever let go? Like, do you ever get to the point where like you kind of have to just say, all right, I'm not going to coach you anymore?
No. It's what can I do better? Are you not enjoying the programming? Like, let's get into it. And I've had situations, take a random 45-year-old woman, for example, who I found out like just really, really, really didn't like the fact that she had two sets of 15 glute bridges in her warm-up because like that motion made her so uncomfortable. And I was like, guess what? We don't have to lay on the ground and hump the air with like other people around in this atmosphere. You're not super comfortable. Like that doesn't have to be a part of your warm up. We can change that.
Yeah.
And like just digging in. And I think a lot of clients, a lot of people like feel like they might be being judged by not being perfect, and just setting the stage to have very open and honest conversations. Like, what's going well here? What isn't going well? What can I do better? I don't expect perfection, but like, what can we change so that you like don't miss sessions, or so that you enjoy the workouts more?
Yeah. I heard you speaking a few weeks ago about being on the defensive last year and then being on the offensive this year in terms of your business. Let's go into that a little bit, Mike, in terms of, you know, like we spoke about before, leaving Gary Vee, that's huge, you know what I mean? Because that was just a nest egg, a little bit of money that was going to be there every week. You know what I mean? Like, but what was the biggest opportunities that you found in business, and how'd you capitalize on that, man?
Through working with him, or
just through leaving him, and then knowing that you didn't have that money anymore, and then like we're speaking about being online trainers now in terms of developing. Obviously, now I'm assuming that your main source of revenue is just coming from online training, correct?
Yep. That's 100% of like my revenue.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Out of that last 12 months, how did that stage of your business evolve?
I mean, that's like mistelling the story because
you were already doing it, right?
Actually. Yeah. Pre-Gary. So I moved to New York City, interning for Roman. While interning for Roman, I was training clients out of a gym on the Upper East Side and then had like a handful as an independent around the city.
Yep.
I had cut back on my in-person coaching prior to starting with Gary because my online business was starting to grow to the point where it was like almost supporting me. So during working with Gary, my business just has continued to grow year over year since it started, the online business. So it wasn't necessarily like it wasn't like a huge risk leaving.
Yeah, okay.
I felt good about it. It allowed me more time to make content, to like be in my inbox more with online clients. It like there was definitely that freedom. But yeah, it's in a good place. It's in a place where I'm happy with things are, and it's really like creating the best content that people enjoy and actually helps them is where my focus is right now.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah, if people listening at home and they search Mike Vacanti on your social media, it'll say writer. And I wanted to – no, and we talked about that last year. Like writing, it seems that you really enjoy doing that. And is writing a book something that you've been planning? Is this something that you want to do? Does that interest you at all?
It interests me. I feel like I don't have – I feel like I would be writing a book just to write a book and just to say I wrote a book and maybe I could market it and like sell it to my email list. But if I'm going to write a book, I want to have like enough original ideas to feel like a book needs to be written. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, like there's all those little, we were interviewing a guy, and he brought up to my attention, he's a business consultant, and he was talking about whatever industry you're in, finding the white spaces, figuring out where there's room for growth. And so when like me looking as an outsider at like your path over the last year, the work you've done with your father, like that's a huge hole for like coaches knowing how to make plans of attack for that. Like, you know, guys in their 40s and 50s, how do I get them on track? Or even like transitioning from, you know, pretty much career change. I mean, being somebody's coach in human real life and then going all strictly online is another career transition. Things like that, I feel like when I say book, I guess I don't mean like, you know, a big book, but are you producing content on that side of things? Like maybe an ebook on how to transition from careers, things like that? Or
I feel like in the last minute, you may have just flipped me and I feel like I may have been underselling. I don't have any like concrete plans in the works, but I'm actually, so this Sunday, Gary's current trainer, Jordan Syatt, and I are putting on a personal trainer business seminar here in the city, just capped at small 20 people and presenting on that. It's definitely something that I'd be interested in making more content around.
Yeah.
I just haven't.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm like, most of the hours I spend working are spent either designing training programs or communicating with online clients. Like if we take a pie and it's those things and then creating content is definitely the smallest sliver of the pie right now. I'm in a place where getting moved into my apartment and like getting settled and moving around. I took a family vacation for these past 10 days. I haven't been in that like grind
mindset. Mode,
you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting one about, you know, taking time out. Like, can you talk about the importance of taking time out? Because I saw your post and you said you didn't check your phone for 10 days. You know, that would have been an interesting scenario. I don't think I've ever checked my phone for 10 days.
We have this.
How is that like, man?
Yeah, we have this like symbiotic relationship with our mobile phones. It's like our newborn.
It's sickening at times, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we're morphing. Yeah. We're like morphing into the machine, though. If you were to look like 100 years from now, I think they're going to look back and they'll say, we're like holding our babies.
This was the time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I did. So I didn't go no phone. What I did was, I didn't open up Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, really. So not only was I not creating content, but I wasn't consuming content either. For 2 weeks down in Florida with my parents and grandparents, it was just like good family trip, beach time, very relaxing. It did a lot for me from a learning point of view and from like an understanding how my brain works and from like a self-awareness perspective, because I realized what I so often do is if I have even a second of downtime, I instinctually just here, open scroll. Instagram, yeah, or like here, Facebook. And without even knowing, sometimes I'm in the Instagram Explorer tab and I'm like, what am I actually doing right now? I had something I was supposed to be doing, but how did I get here to this place? And by cutting it out for 2 weeks and just saying, I'm just chilling, that got replaced with other behaviors. It got replaced with, this sounds cliche, but like having conversations with my family in person. It got replaced with having a question like, oh, you know what? I wonder this and this about muscle hypertrophy, and then Googling it and reading like long form articles and spending 90 minutes actually like really, really digging into one topic without bouncing around from place to place. It was really interesting. And another component of it is that feedback loop of posting and then going back to see how many likes, how many comments, how many people like think this is stupid, and I think a lot of us convince ourselves that, I mean, social media is work for us, right? Putting up content,
For sure.
Trying to comments, community, it's all important, but replying to Instagram comments for the 13th time in 5 hours versus like actually sitting down to write an article, like those aren't the same when it comes to work.
Yeah, for sure.
Make some good points.
Yeah, there's another, we need that video of you. We need you to do a video speaking about the importance of detaching from social media and the benefits of what you can achieve as a coach, because I take your video, like the video thing again, I'll use the fruit. I just shared your fruit one 2 days ago. And people who support me, they think I'm like, follow Mike. That dude, you know, if you're a coach and you want to know how to do the videos, watch Mike Vacanti. He kills it. What are you doing? It's a question from one of my buddies. Are you on your PC? What are you doing to add the edits? Because I know Facebook down here in Australia, I think I asked you this last year. Down here in Australia, we just got the edits on the live video, on the videos. So like it automatically posts the words. But like, do you guys? So like, if we were,
I'm not even up on that automatically happening.
Yeah, so it's happening automatically. But you're adding like, and Gary does this, the black bar, and then like an emoji, and then what app is that?
It's in the video editor, so Adobe Premiere Pro.
Yeah,
and it's just manual.
How tedious is that?
I have my one employee does that for
awesome.
Me.
Awesome. Yeah, man.
He actually wrote a guest post for my site that I'm publishing like in the next day or two, how to do that, because so many people have hit me up and said like, what app? Like, how does that work? And I don't know of an app that does it. I've seen people try it, but the voice recognition software just isn't quite there to like be good enough from what I've seen. So yeah, it's manual. And my guess is for a 3-minute video, he spends 90 to 120 minutes.
Yeah, it's a lot of time with the editing. Yeah, for sure.
It's tedious. So we got the answer about the butt video. What spawned that? Emails from female clients. Share with us some insight about the fruit video I'm mentioning. And guys listening, just go to Mike's page or my page. It's on there. What spawned that for you to finally say, all right, you know, whoever's standing behind with a skeleton mask that eating fruit's going to kill you. Let me drop some knowledge bombs on that one.
I don't even have a specific So what I do is I keep an Excel file that has ideas for YouTube videos, Facebook videos, and blog posts. Mm. And kind of like when I have an idea, I'll leave it in there. And that, like, each of these has more than like 50 or 60 in each list. Because the type of content, like if it packs a little more of a punch, if there's emotional appeal, if I think it'll hit shares, like the butt video, that goes in Facebook because there's organic reach there. If I think it's a subject that I want to live forever on the internet and possibly rank well on Google in the future, it goes in the YouTube bucket. But I just had from, I don't remember when I added it to the list, but it just in all caps on the list, it said fruit is not bad for you, from probably getting like spammy marketing emails saying, caution, don't eat this, but instead do this. And by the way, buy this thing. Like, I was like, look, but let's like actually talk about this.
For sure. Mike, I see you've just taken up boxing, my man.
Trying, bro. Yeah.
How's it
Keep
going?
Keep the hands high, brother. Keep the chin down and hands high.
What made you take up boxing and how's it been going, man?
It's really hard.
Yeah. I got sparring just, today.
Yeah, he fights.
You were?
Yeah, I got a spot That's today. Awesome.
It's a new language. Nice. You're learning a new language, and it's, you know, 2 points on your hands and 2 points on your feet. So how long have you been doing it, and what's the most challenging part?
Yeah, man.
March 1st, so that's about 7 weeks. The most challenging part is just, like, muscle endurance for me, right? So so I'm once a week working with a boxing coach, and then on average probably 4 days a week going in on my own and biking, like getting my aerobic cardio up, shadow boxing, hitting the heavy bag for a few rounds, jumping rope, doing some like different drills that my trainer gave me to be doing. But yeah, it's just getting, so it's getting work capacity up and learning the skill of like throwing all of the punches. I got into it because I've never, like, outside of some eighth grade, like, little scuffles that weren't even real fights, like, I've never really squared off with a dude. And as a 30-year-old man, or I was 29 at the time, I was just thinking, like, I'm coming up on my 30th birthday. Like, I should be able to do this. And like, not because I want to go beat people up on the street, but because for myself, I want to know what happens. Like, what happens when I get stuck in the chin? Can I take a punch? Can I not take a punch? Like, am I a pussy? Am I going to, like, is this going to be fun for me? And so it's curiosity. And in these times, I think most of us would agree that our parents' generation was a little bit harder than us, and their parents' generation was a little bit harder than them. You know, it's just something that I felt like I needed to do for myself.
Yeah, have you got to the point where are you sparring rounds yet?
I'm not.
So they're
I'm not.
They're, and Tristan and I talk about this. Like, there's a thing that happens when you get to sparring that you have to be every second of that round aware. And after, so when you start doing it, something to think about. And after the round ends, you can be as exhausted as possible in between rounds, and then the bell will go and you start sparring again, and you're right back at it. It's kind of like you're in an induced flow state, and then it always makes me think, where else in life, during my normal day life, that I'm that aware, that I'm that switched on? And it almost
that you have
to. You're required to be. It's one of my favorite sports.
What I really love about it is that there's just different scenarios. One day I'm so shit at it, and then the next day I'm in the zone and I'm absolutely nailing people and just feeling so good.
Yeah,
and it's just I want to go back and try to improve every single week.
So many different sides to it.
Learning and improving, like that whole getting better at anything is I think is important to constantly be growing in life. But
for sure
my trainer Luis is like, for the last couple of weeks I've been like, let me get in there. He's like, all right, we will. So we'll see.
Have you heard of do you know who Vasily Lomachenko is?
I don't.
All right, write his name down. He's a Ukrainian born fighter. He's 28. People are already heralding him as one of the greatest of all time. Just type in Lomachenko.
Yeah, he's only had 9 fights.
And watch his movement. Mm. His move, they call him the Matrix. His footwork, now you wouldn't teach a kid to fight like him, but because
you just couldn't. Yeah.
There's like a predictability thing about boxing, like you're playing chess. You know, I always say MMA to an extent is kind of like checkers. I could be wrong. Boxing, they call the sweet science. It's like you're predicting movements and then guessing where somebody's going to be. in terms of watch Lomachenko's highlights, you'll be like, holy, yeah. It'll help trigger some of the movements of the sport.
Two fights ago, he versed his world champion, and the world champion wasn't hurt, but he was so frustrated, he quit.
Seventh round.
He just quit.
Dude was 41-0, never lost, or 31-0, never lost. By the seventh round, he didn't get out of his corner.
He was that frustrated, not because he was hurt, because he could just not land one punch in seven rounds.
It was crazy. Quit. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's insane.
Those are the
videos. I'm excited to Google this.
For sure. Where were we at with the...
Boxing. Yeah. How have you been finding just, you know, like you talked about before with the, you know, work capacity, what I find is that I'm good for a minute, and then that the next minute, I'm in like a slump. Like, I'm just not used to that, that pace. You
that
know
volume.
I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, I'll go from the champ to the chump real quick.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. That speed and that volume, just, I'm the same way. It takes it out of me. And if he calls out, you know, a bunch of, like, if I'm just throwing a ton of combos in a row, it's like, bro, I just threw like 40 punches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely unlike any style of training I've ever practiced. And historically, I gravitate towards more of a bodybuilding style of training. Like, physique is what I've cared most about.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, speed is just not in my, not in something I've ever practiced.
You were already pretty lean before, Mike. Like, what have you noticed in terms of your body?
I mean, I started an aggressive cut like 12 weeks ago.
Okay.
So I didn't, when I started boxing, or sorry, not 12 weeks ago, 12 days ago.
What are you weighing now?
I started 164.
What?
Wow.
That's crazy.
And, yeah. Well, I can't like fight at 180. I just smoke.
You're going to fight? That's why you're doing this?
I mean, I don't want to say that.
Okay.
I mean, so my first sparring match, get hit in the nose.
This is like, exclusive.
Oh, Mike Vicante can't take a punch, but I have the option to fight. Yeah.
So you're doing it to experience the weight cut, to go through a fight camp, and then possibly do the fight.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I was just...
There's this dude on Discovery Channel that did that.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Idris Elba.
Oh, I never got to watch it yet.
Do you know he's the Brit actor, Idris Elba. Great actor. There's a show on it.
I heard about the show, but I heard it's really good.
Yeah, it's MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just boxing.
Gotta check that out.
But, so do you have a date set?
I don't have a date set.
Dude, that's intense, man.
But in my mind, I was like, so to answer a question, I started 7 weeks ago. I took strength training from like 4x a week on average down to just 2 full body sessions with the goal of maintain most of my lean tissue while focusing my like time and mental energy on getting better at boxing.
Yeah.
So my physique didn't change much, just eating around maintenance, 2x a week strength training. But in the last 2 weeks since I started this pretty aggressive cut and strength training 5 days a week, boxing almost daily, and like doing cardio and making sure I'm getting 8-9 hours a night of sleep,
yeah.
I've lost, you know, the first like 8 or 9 pounds of muscle glycogen, water, carbs, but I probably lost 5 pounds of body fat too. So I'm 5'10". I'm walking around like pretty lean right now.
Shredded, probably.
Did you drop your calories as well?
Yeah. So
what are you on
in
now,
these
man?
Last 2 weeks? 2,400 with 2-a-days and like walking around New York City.
Wow,
I probably take like 12,000, 14,000 steps a day.
Are you documenting this whole journey? Are you writing? Are you charting it?
I'm not. No.
Come on, Mike.
Bro, I like making content.
Yeah.
So here's something. I've never said this before, and I think I'm just coming to this conclusion. If I could redo the last 5-6 years of my life since I started putting content out,
yeah,
I think I would have built a business where I didn't have to, like, share myself.
Hmm.
Because there's definitely part of me that, like, enjoys positive feedback too much. So in that vein, there are things in my life that I want to have for myself.
Okay.
Right? Like to document. And when I think of document, I think of like posting about it or even blogging about it.
Or that's interesting. Like
I'm tracking for myself, but I'm not like documenting the journey on social. It's like something I want for me.
For you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's very important.
And like, even like, and not even like some people don't like negative feedback. I don't like, I feel like I get too much positive feedback on some of my stuff that isn't even that good. Mm. People are like, this is the best. And I'm like, It actually wasn't that great, but thank you. Like in Ryan Holiday's book, Ego is the Enemy, which I think is, I've listened to it three times. I think it's an unbelievable book. He talks about some famous general or like very smart person from the past who might be a philosopher, like discusses ignoring the praise, like just as much as you ignore the criticism, because that flattery can be just as dangerous to your growth and development.
Yeah, have you read Greene's 48 Laws?
I have. It's been a while.
Yeah, so it's one of those books, if you guys listening at home, you don't have to read it sequentially. You could just pick open. So ironically enough, the one I'm stuck on is Law 30, and he talks about act effortlessly, about your wins, your losses, kind of like as a bad analogy as a football player, when you score, just give the ball back to the ref sort of thing, you know, to try to stay. Yeah. And that's tough for us, man, especially being so vulnerable and so open on social. We're literally allowing everybody inside to leave that feedback. The one thing with you, though, the only negativity I ever see online for feedback with you is when you disappear for like certain amounts of time. Like you won't post for like, we'll say 4 days, 5 days, and then that's when people will be coming out like making these outrageous claims, that sort of thing. Is that just funny to you, or does that ever affect you?
I mean, I don't even see that. Yeah. Like, I guess I'll get like, "Are you okay?" emails
when I was
on vacation, and like DMs, and like someone posts on my Facebook page, like you can post messages. There's so many places where you can get hit with
crazy
messages. Yeah. But like it was on my business page wall, I guess it's called. And they were like, "Okay, that was a long enough vacation. You need to come back now." And like, I just, you know, that's feels like flattery to me. It's like, I'm glad I missed, I guess.
Yeah.
Mike, with all this online business, you can travel anywhere you want. You got any travel plans this year?
I do. Nothing like super crazy. I have a couple weddings that are both in Mexico this summer. So I'm getting to like the Gulf side once and then to the Pacific side once.
Come to Australia, man.
What's that?
Sydney, man. Sydney. You, if you've never been to Sydney, dude, trust me.
I haven't.
Trust me.
I know.
Yeah.
I need to get over there.
Yeah, like every time, it's funny. Every time I leave, like I'm leaving again in June to do the America thing. And every time I'm gone for like a couple days, I'm like, man, I got to get back to Australia. I don't know if that's because I'm an American and where I come from, but the fitness scene down here is ridiculous. Like there, I think you'd really like it down here.
What do you like for duration of trip? How long would I have to come to make it? You know, it's a long flight. Plus, like, I want to experience some things when I'm there.
Yeah.
Probably like a month?
Yeah, I reckon a month. 4 weeks. But like I said, with the way you've kind of structured your business, you could kind of work and holiday at the same time. But
yeah, that's my goal. Like, I'm going to have to – I'll send you a message when we get off. But it's like I'm – right now, if I had to do a percentage of like 100% being my business, like the fitness stuff, I'm like 80% in the gym and 20% online. When I – like my goal is to flip that so I can be able to travel and all I would need is like a Wi-Fi signal. Kind of like, you know, just to have that freedom. Yeah. I think that's a big goal for me. And you're already like,
I'm doing it, but I'm not utilizing it.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike Vacanti, you just turned 30.
Yeah, and you live in New York City. So you live in the most expensive city in the world. And you think about that, you know, you're doing quite well living in New York. You could practically flip your life and go anywhere.
Anywhere in the world.
There is definitely an intangible upside in whether it's like osmosis of productive, hardworking people or if there's actually like energy magic in the city, whatever you want to call it. But living here does bring my game to another level.
Yeah.
It just did when I first moved out here from the onset interning for Roman. I noticed it when I spent the 3 months back in Minnesota. It's like the mindset of the people and just like the mentality of like going, working is real. But yes, I 100% need to, and even if it's like 2 out of 12 months spend in other places, I just have like domestic travel scheduled for the summer. Maybe I'll get Sydney on the calendar.
Yeah, and the seasons are flipped too. So just keep that in mind. When it starts getting cold in New York, it's starting to get warm here.
Yeah, probably best times like October, November. October's like spring. November, like that's spring. So December's and January's very hot, like extremely hot. So
it's not that hot, man.
I'd say stay away, man.
I lived in Vegas for 2 years. It's definitely not that hot.
Oh, did you live in Las Vegas?
So when you said that story, I didn't want to interrupt you. I lived in Long Beach, California for 6 years. My buddy is still in Vegas. I went there for a weekend with like not a lot of money. Life really wasn't going anywhere. I stayed for 2 years, and it's that energy though. Like you're talking about New York City. I actually, when I left, I said I would never live there again. It's always in the back of my head though, Vegas. There's always like a little bit that like, man, I kind of crave her. And it's not just the strip though, man. It has awesome like national parks, awesome hikes, big fitness scene. But yeah, Vegas is its own animal.
That's amazing.
I haven't been for a while. Yeah. I went once 3 times in a year and I had to ban myself a little bit from that place.
Dude, every airport we went through in America, you get... The dude's banned in America. You're not even allowed to go there. Before we wrap it up... Go on.
I was just going to say, October, like October, November, that could actually potentially work.
Yeah, man. Keep us posted, man.
We'll do some stuff for sure.
Yeah, we could do an event for sure. In terms of innovation, I know we got to wrap this up soon. It's something I wanted to ask you. It's about another video, about another content you created. I actually followed him on Instagram. You hired, I don't know if it's a buddy of yours, but he was documenting your training using a drone.
Yeah.
And then he edited it, and it was like, it added this whole new dimension to your video. Did you like the way that came out? Is this something that you asked for, or was it just an experiment that he wanted to do for you?
Mm. So JT Kastner is like a year out of college working in SEO, SEM down in Florida where I was vacationing. And I just know him from online, Snapchat, like we've sent some stuff back and forth. Loves photo video stuff and drone work specifically is something he's been very into. And so he's been saying, if you're down here, let me make you a video. Let me make you a video. And I was like, all right, all right. And so I was down there staying 20 minutes away from him.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, come down to the beach. We'll do it. I was like, all right, let's do it. So I went down there without any plan other than we're going to film some stuff. And he filmed, I just got a little like pump work in his condo gym, which he filmed. And then I was.
The beach shots were awesome.
Beach sprints, and he would set up the drone behind me and then say go, and I just took off in a sprint, and he was doing his thing with the drone, and he, like, you know, there was a little rant I had that served as the audio, and he used all the footage he grabbed for the video. I was pumped with how it turned out, and kid's super talented.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I reached out because I want a drone specific video. It was more just I thought he seemed like a good guy and had talent, which both proved to be true. And he wanted to do that video for me.
Yeah, cheers. What was his name? Give him another plug.
JT Kastner. So his Instagram is JTC Films.
Yeah, man. He added a whole different element to the video. I watched it a couple different times. It was very dramatic.
It was cool, right?
Yeah, it was cool. It was dope.
He picked the music on there. Yeah,
it was dope.
Yeah, technology and like, I go back and forth on, because I think that can almost be a negative mindset to someone getting started, and like, oh, how can I compete with like drone footage and like high tech cameras, and I think people often get in that mindset and then don't start. It definitely adds to the visual appeal and quality of the video, but it's not necessary to make content, obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure,
Mike. Thanks again for coming on the show. Before we let you leave, guys, make sure you continue to follow Mike. He's on theregime.com. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, Instagram. He's at Mike Vacanti. Did I get it all?
Snapchat.
What's your Snapchat, man?
My name.
Mike Vacanti.
You know, people are smart. If they type what they want to type in the Google machine, like they find what they need to find.
For sure, man. Dude, it's been such a pleasure catching up, my man.
This is fun talking, absolutely.
We'll have to awesome, do it again.
Mike. Appreciate you.
Hopefully we'll see you October, November in Australia, and then hopefully catch up with you in America one day too.
Yeah, man, I'll be there in June. I'll hit you up.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Yep. Let's do it.
Be good, man.
All right, boys.
Johnny, that was Mike Vacanti.
Yeah, man. The rapport with Mike is, you know, we've had him on before. He's doing great things. And it's awesome to always bring another guest on for that second time.
Well, it's good this, you know, the people that you become friends with through the show, to continually see them evolve and achieving their own goals and continually to set the bar higher makes, you know, us want to set the bar higher as well. And I think that's what Mike's doing.
Huge key point, man. You got to be around the people who are pushing their game up and you have to support that. And if you're able to sit back and find inspiration in that, those are the right people to surround yourself with. So Mike Vicanti is one of those guys.
Yeah, another one that ticks that box. Elliot Hulse, our most recorded show, downloaded show from last year. And he's, you know, he's the man when it comes to fitness, health, and now he's branching into other little areas of life as well. I love the bloke. I think I'm absolutely stoked to speak to him again.
For sure. Elliot, you know, personal development, leadership, spirituality, the fitness was kind of his single cell organism that grew into this brand, which is Elliot Hulse. And it's another guy, like you said, we've had him on before, most downloaded episode, and the value he brings, the energy he brings, it's always a pleasure to sit with Mr. Hulse.
Can't wait. Wednesday. So guys, just remember, tune in to Elliot Hulse Wednesday. Wrap up show on Friday. We've got a big week. Next week, we've got the Shamrock week. Ken Shamrock and Frank Shamrock.
Irish whiskey out, boys. They're not Irish, but their last name's Shamrock. And these guys were both at one time world champions, both brothers, both entrepreneurs, and they're still doing their thing, man. They're still sending that same message.
Yeah, so tell your people, tell your family, and we'll check you soon.
For sure.
Peace. Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.